We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll be starting in verse 13. Title is The Rights of an Apostle. It's the second part of last week's message. And as we looked at, we started last week about the rights of an apostle, the rights of a minister. Today is in a continuation of the scriptures dealing with this. And back in verse 12, the verse right before this, Paul stated he did not exercise his rights to be supported by the Corinthian church. And Paul did suffer in lacking food, clothing, adequate housing. So Paul now goes on and gives the believers more understanding. So we're going to start in verse 13. But I was thinking I'll start back at verse 12 to read, because it does tie into that. So verse 12. If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. But we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in their sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Paul, and this is the rights of an apostle, it's the rights of a minister, a pastor. And he opens this up, and he's going to give us religious illustration. And I think that one that the Jews would understand, as well as the Gentiles who had come out of pagan worship. And he says, but I have made no use of these. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I jumped on the wrong one. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in sacrificial offerings? It is supporting what he's talking about, supporting the ministers in the church, the ones who are in the service of the church, the temple. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest received food from what the food was to be sacrificed. They received a portion of all food that came in to be sacrificed that would be placed on the altar. There was also housing supplied by the church for the priest. The priest proclaimed God from the altar temple. So you can see it's the same principle as the pastors and ministers of today or since New Testament teachings. This is what they're called to do. Now, what happens in verse 14 is Paul applies this principle. In the same way, the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. He's applying that principle of what the priest did in the Old Testament into the New Testament teaching of the church. Support is to be provided of the ministers of the gospel. And we are to do this. The church is to do this. And God has ordained, when it says under the command, God has ordained ministers to live off the gospel. What God says. This is a command of the Lord himself. A preacher is to live off the gospel. And so, as Paul continues to show this, and if you tie this into last week's message, you can understand things. And then he says, Paul says something here that we need to understand. Paul said in verse 15, "But I have made no use of any of the rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any provision." Paul has not claimed those rights to do it. He's given all evidence that a minister is to be supported by the church. But, and this is important, the minister has a right whether to receive it or not. A minister can do this. And Paul made his decision not to receive support from the Corinthian church. He said, "I'm not going to do that." Ministers can do that. They have that right to receive. They have that right also to say, "No, I'm not going to receive it." And I want us to understand why ministers, a lot of ministers or some, don't do that. Don't take and receive anything. Paul could face all his enemies, and he could refute any charge of preaching for money, as some do. And Paul is writing this not to shame the church at Corinth. He is not. He is instructing. Every pastor is to instruct from the Word of God what it says. He's to teach them, and this is what he's doing, how to treat a minister. And as I shared last week, everybody knows I receive nothing. I take nothing. It's my right to choose. I don't receive anything. But as a church, I could be killed in a car wreck. I could be called somewhere else, and another pastor comes in that may need that. That may need that and understand that. And what does Paul, and look how he says this, "But I've made no use of any of these rights," verse 15, "nor am I writing these things to secure any provision." So, Paul does not want the church at Corinth here to start to support him. Pastors have that right. If they don't want it, we use that to serve other ways. Jesus Christ had, had said ministers are to be supported by the people of God. But there are ministers who work secular jobs for their own support. Understand, they're not to be looked on better or worse than one who receives support. They're all called to preach and proclaim the gospel. All. And that's what we're to do. And the reason why Paul doesn't receive support, it can be the same for many who do not receive the faith. It's actually the reason for it. It's in verse 16. Because he turns around and he says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Woe to me. Paul must preach the gospel. And that is with all pastors, all ministers. We are called by God to preach the gospel. It's not a job. You go fill an application out, turn it in, you go through all that, and you get the job. No. You have to be called to do it. And Paul's saying, "Hey, I received nothing, but necessity is laid upon me." Paul does not glory in being called a minister either. There's no glory in it. This is what we're called to do. Paul was called to be a minister is not a reason for boasting or glorying. God makes the call. Just like we're going to see later as we continue in Corinth, the church of 1 Corinthians, God gives out the spiritual gifts as he chooses. We don't get to claim any of it. It's whatever God gives. Paul says, for necessity is laid upon him. A minister, a pastor, is called to preach the word of God. He is called to preach the message, the good news. Necessity. There is nothing else in life that compares to the calling to preach the word. Everything takes a back seat to preaching God's holy word. That's it. Nothing compares into that. It says that that necessity is laid upon him. When God calls you, you know it. There's no doubt about it. All you want to do is serve him. Go where he tells you to go. Do what he tells you to do. When God called me, I thought, no, Lord, no. It took about a month of constant prayer and God telling me, I've got you. It was a hard thing. When it says laid upon him, and I want you to understand what this means. In the original Greek text, it means pressed, compelled, you are constrained, you are duty bound to fulfill your calling. Everything else is laid aside. Everything. God does this to the pastor. He lays it upon the pastor that he is called, and that's all the pastor wants to do is please God. Do what he's called. Give up what he has to give up. You know you are to preach, period. You're to preach. There's no doubt in your heart and no doubt in your mind, just like Paul, you are to preach. It doesn't matter, the good or the bad. You preach the gospel. It doesn't matter. Paul's preaching was not a matter of choice. Well, do I choose to preach or not? No, the calling is laid upon you so much. That's all you want to do in life is to preach and share that gospel, to see people come to know the Lord. All preachers, it's a call in life. That's it. That's your call. Sometimes it's very early. Sometimes it's in the middle of your year. Sometimes later, whatever it is. Once that happens, that's it. That's all you're called to do. And you don't really care too much about anything else but to share that gospel, to see people come to the Lord. Understand, Paul had not chosen to be a preacher. He didn't. I didn't choose to be a preacher. No. I love the church. I served in the church for years. In the background, nobody knew who I was. Fixing things and taking care of. I liked it that way. But it's a matter of God calling Paul to duty, to do it. Paul was in a Pharisee, and he was out when after Christ came, went on the cross, he was persecuting all those in the church. He's on the road to Damascus because he is rounding up Christians to put them in jail. He's persecuting the church. The first Christian martyr, Stephen, he cast his ballot to have him stoned to death. He's on this road to Damascus. He's with a couple others, and a bright light shone. And it's Jesus before him. And this is what happens. Put up Acts 26 for me, please. I'm going to read this. This is Jesus speaking to Paul. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to these things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you. Delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus Christ called Paul. This is your new calling. This is what you're going to do. I encourage you to read how this happened. Because Paul was blinded. And for 3 days, he couldn't see anything. And you read the story of what happens to him calling to be a pastor. He's a church planter. He was a missionary. All this occurred as God's calling. Luckily, it didn't occur that way for me where I was blinded, but it does happen. So if Paul does not preach the gospel, if any pastor or minister does not preach the gospel that he's been called to, he's disobeying God. And he would miss the purpose of his life on this earth. As a pastor, your sole purpose in life is to preach the gospel. There is nothing else. To share the good news. It doesn't matter. Whatever you got to do to get the good news to the people. That's the purpose of a pastor's life. Paul even goes to say, "Woe to me." In other words, what would come upon him if he didn't preach? Woe to me if you don't preach and you've been called. And this is, I brought up several scriptures here to show you what understanding of that is. Put up for him Mark 16:15. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Doesn't matter where it is. "Well, you know, Lord, that may be a kind of a tough area." No. When God calls you and sends you, you go. That's where you go, wherever he sends you. God calls men into areas that are high crime. Drugs. Violence. They're called to do it, they go. Look at 2 Timothy 4:2. Timothy was a young pastor. He was about 37 years old, roughly. Paul tells him, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Paul tells the young pastor, Timothy, "Preach the word, period." Not to give fun, feel-good messages that you walk, "Oh, that was sweet." It is to preach the word. This is the power. The word of God is the power. As you know, I start at chapter 1, verse 1 of whatever book God leads me to preach in. And we go through it, and there's things that I don't like to preach on. Because I like the fun stuff. Where God saves and anoints and feeds and all. No, we're called to preach the word. Pastors are called to preach this word, period. That's the way I do it. And then I wanted to show something here before I put it up was, this was where God called on me, and I jumped through and said, "Send me, God." Put up for me, please, Isaiah. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me. Send me, God, wherever you want. I don't care." It's preaching his word. It's preaching his word. And that's what makes it all, that is all the joy. When you preach the word, seeing God touch people's lives. And as Paul continues, and in verse 7, he says, "For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I'm still entrusted with stewardship." So I still have to do it. Paul explains that there's a reward in preaching. Yeah. Folks, we have, as believers, the greatest retirement program in the world. My retirement plan, your retirement plan, is beyond anything the world could ever offer. And here it is, his reward in preaching. If he preaches freely, voluntarily, he has a reward. He has a reward. If not, he's fulfilling his commission, though, that God has called him. But it's that preaching freely. Preaching voluntarily. He is still responsible to preach the gospel. All pastors are to preach God's word. All of it. And I am to give you the whole counsel of God, not just the bits and pieces that sound good and are fun. Even the tough one. I am not to be preaching on politics or government or all the other things that you can preach on. I'm called to preach God, Word of God, period. He is responsible to do that. All pastors are. He is entrusted with it. All pastors are. The call to preach the gospel comes with responsibility. To preach God's holy word correctly. I go to great lengths and make sure everything I say is right true to the word of God. Great lengths. And I want you to have God's word in your lap because I want you checking me on it to make sure. I'm human. Look at Titus 1:3 for me, please. And at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted, Paul is saying, by the command of God, our Savior. We've been entrusted. We've been commanded. We're going to give it. We're going to give it. And then he says, what then is my reward? What's my reward? Here comes Paul with his reward. He's preaching the gospel freely. He's preaching without any charge. And he's not making his use right of being taken care of by the church as a preacher. That's his reward. That's his reward. That is the reward for preachers who do this freely. Because I want us to understand there is a great privilege and an honor in doing that. The privilege of seeing people get saved free of charge. There's nothing I can't stand than when I watch on, and you'll see different people on TV, send money, send money, send money. I cannot judge other preachers. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. The privilege of assurance and confidence of the people that he was free of all greed. Nobody can say to Paul, because he doesn't get paid, you're doing this for greed. No one can say that. Nobody. The privilege of people knowing he was not in a ministry of comfort and money. That he would live the lavish lifestyle with a lot of money out of preaching. No. And the privilege of seeing people grow in the Lord. What a blessing, folks. Most of you don't even realize how excited I get, and I go home because I see growth in you. And you go, oh, I don't see any growth. Oh, I do. There's nothing more blessed than to see growth in the believers, growing stronger in him. It doesn't mean all ministers are to work for nothing. No. God calls, says they're to be paid. There's no difference. No difference there. One's not better than the other. The point is here is that ministers preach out of necessity. They've been called to do it and not out of greed for money. That's horrible. Pastors minister to help people. A pastor's job is to preach the word. When I preach the word, I am feeding you the word of God. Hopefully giving you everything to equip you for your ministry. Because all of us are called into ministry. It could be taking care of husbands, wives. It could be taking care of your family. It could be whatever it is, whatever your calling is. We're to help people. We're to serve people. And not to use people especially for gain. By no means. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:9 for me. Paul says, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. That is what pastors, ministers do, work day and night, to make sure that you're equipped. And all pastors should constantly search our hearts to make sure our motives are right, that our motives don't drift offline. Look at Acts 20:28 for me, please. Pay careful attention to yourselves, right there, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. The church belongs to God. He is the chief shepherd. Pastors are my small shepherds. We are to watch over the flock. We're to watch over you, protect you, serve you. Make sure that anybody that comes and preaches from this pulpit is right on the money and not shady. That they will preach the word of God correctly. And then Paul shows what he's doing. In verse 19, he says, for though I'm free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Oh, what a blessing that is. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became one as one under the law. So here, he comes and he says, hey, I've all things to all men. To serve all men so Paul can bring them to Christ. Whatever that is, to get the people to know Christ as their Savior. Whatever that is. He's not going to conform to man's ideas and opinions. Most of man's ideas and opinions are of the world, which contradict God. I've had people tell, oh, you ought to do this, you ought to do this, this, that. No, I'll do what God tells me, and I'm okay with that. Whatever he guides me to do. Because we've been set free so that we can be conformed to Christ. Now, he does not compromise his convictions, though. He becomes close to people so people will see Christ in him. And we need to understand that. He does give us examples to this, that he became a Jew to the Jew. Paul was a Jew. Paul was a Pharisee, taught under the great Gabriel priest. He was one of the top guys. But he came to know Christ. And that changed him radically. Paul's ministry to the Jews, who were under the law, he went along with their customs. Yes, so long as nothing would interfere with his walk with Christ, though. And it's very interesting, as you see, if you look at the book of Acts. Take time to read it if you get a chance. It's like 26 chapters or so. The first half of it is mostly about Peter. Peter's called to the Jew to preach. And then that second half is Paul. He's called to preach to the Gentiles, us. We see that. All these are examples of what I preach. We're to go down with people and we're to walk them out of their situations to bring them closer to Christ. And I want us to understand that. If somebody's down low, whatever the problems they're going through, we want to get down and help them get up out of that situation. We don't conform to what they're doing. We don't partake in what they're doing. We'll go with them, go where they are, right where they are, and help them to come out of that so that they know Christ. The standard was Christ, not the law. He had freedom in Christ so he could do this. Well, all pastors have that same thing, just as all believers do. Now, Paul does say to those outside of the law, well, who's he talking about? That's the non-religious ones. Okay? So your non-religious ones are, they're not Jews, they're not Christians. It's most the people that you know. It's most the people you know, whether it be in family or friends or work or whatever. It's non-religious. Okay? And I think about that. They don't observe the law. Okay? When you look at the law, you cannot fulfill the law. Period. You can't do it. If you read the Old Testament, the law, you see it's like a gigantic arrow saying you need a Savior. Because you cannot do it. You have to have a Savior. The Jews didn't get it. Most of you guys in here got it and understand. Paul did not become lawless or immoral in the world. He was still under Christ. Now, there are many ways of reaching. Early in my life, I was into hot rods and cars and racing, big time. But I go to shows or whatever. I go to Racers for Christ. There are Racers for Christ. There are Athletes for Christ. You got to meet them where the people are. And that's what these people are doing. That are doing these things. They're going to where the people are and they're sharing the gospel and something. Again, hey, wait a minute. There's something different about you. Motorcycle Riders for Christ. Whatever that is. Athletes. He would go along with their customs, their lifestyles, but he wouldn't violate the law of Christ. The whole thing was to get them to know Christ. He was trying to win them for Christ. And then in verse 22, this one kind of says there that to those who are weak, they may have a weak conscience. It's not a physical weak. He would go along with their rules, even though some were petty. Yeah, we understand that. And that can happen. There are many people that are weak consciences and that. But he wanted to be there in case a door opened. In case a door opened. He wanted to be there at that opportunity where he could share Christ. And you know that I worked construction for years. And I would share the gospel at lunch or at break or after work or before work. Share that message. And construction workers, their language is not real good, I'll tell you that. But it was really blessed when at times they'd pull me aside afterwards when nobody else around. Hey, tell me more about this. Bingo. There's a door opening. There's a door opening. He did what he had to do to reach the lost. Is that our focus? By still staying morally and correct and everything, do what we can to reach Christ? I hope we are as a body. He was always looking for that opportunity to help out so that they could walk with Christ. And God will do. And I've seen over my life the most amazing things that I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, folks. But God can do things that are utterly an amazing blessing upon it. And I can remember, and I have shared this years back, but I can remember taking my little truck in to get it smogged. Got there early. Before the place even was barely open, got there early. I'm going to get it smogged. Great. They opened up, hey, I need my truck smogged. Okay, wrote my name down. Got it. So I sat down and wait. People start coming in. Get them smogged. I'd see the mechanic get out and go take their car. It's gone. Meantime, as I'm watching this happen, my truck's still sitting there. There I go, wow, this is odd. Girl comes in, sits down next to me. And she started to talk to me. I'd go, yeah. Think, wonder why they're doing everybody's car. She kept talking to me. I ended up talking to her. This took over the course of about 2.5 hours. And then I started, she was going to move in with her boyfriend to live with him. She's 18 or 17, I forget. I said, She sat right there and we prayed as she accepted Christ in front of everybody else in that waiting room. The minute we finished praying, I was like, wow, Lord. And she was excited. And I told her, you know, hey, there was a church by her, said, go to that church, talk to the pastor. I looked up, the guy walked out, grabbed my truck, drove it in. Boom, 5 minutes later, it's done. Walked in, you're all right, you can go now. I go, wow, if I'd have been paying more attention, I could have been out of here earlier. But God will use you. He will use you if you're always looking for that opportunity. I wasn't really looking, and he did it. God will use you. I'm sharing this to encourage you. Ask God, open a door for me to share the gospel. Ask God, Lord, send me. I want to share that message. He'll do it, and he'll guide you. And think about this, the last verse we're looking at. Why does Paul go through all this? Verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. He does everything for one reason. That's the call of a preacher, that's the call of Paul, for the sake of the gospel, to share that message. Everything is for the gospel of Christ. Everything you do is for the gospel of Christ. He gets to share with the believers in the gospel. Folks, we're only going to be here a short time compared to eternity with God. He gets to share in the blessings of the gospel, to see people come to the Lord. That is one of the greatest blessings you'll ever see in your life. God does all the work in that girl. He did everything, and I got to watch him do it. What a blessing. I got rejoiced and happy because God did all the work in her. Paul is faithful to the gospel, as all preachers, pastors, and believers should be. Look at Galatians 6:10 for me, please. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. That's to other believers. We're to do good to all. And the last one I want to leave you is really, when you look at it, think about it. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. To be wise, to capture souls. To be wise is to capture souls. That is what we're to do. Now, we do have, I want to remind you that we do have lunch here right after, and so please join us with that. But let's close in prayer. Father God, I praise you and I thank you for this time to study your word, Lord. And I ask that, Lord, you would plant your word in our hearts, in our minds, Lord. And I praise you for that. I praise you for that, God. Lord, let us be vessels of honor that you just pour your love into, Lord, and it overflows into all that we meet and come about. Lord, what a blessing it is. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team would come forward, please.